When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey everybody, I'm Garrett Johnston. This is Closed on Sundays at Owl Spirits and Music in Reform, Alabama. I'm going to start this set with a tune off my last album, The Introspective Sessions. This song is called Elizabeth. From around here, your hometown's got their own little brand of life. You ain't from down here, those skylines live in your mind like a picture stuck in time. But I just hope you change your mind. These dirt roads are the soundtrack to everything that's real. This small town holds some medicine for wounds that you can't heal. Just stay a while and you gon' see. People listen a little more than they should, but they know how to fix me up. If you'll stay and listen, you'll hear the tales of my youth, all the crazy stuff I've done. Oh, but I think you'll like where I came from. These dirt roads are the soundtrack to everything that's real. This small town holds some medicine for wounds that you can't heal. Just stay a while and you gon' see. Dirt roads are the soundtrack to everything that's real. And this small town holds some medicine for wounds that you can't heal. Just stay a while and you gon' see. Just stay a while and you gon' see. Thank you. Cool. That was a tune called Elizabeth off my last album, The Introspective Sessions. That song was written... I went and performed in Spain with a group in 2023, and I wrote it right after I got back. It was for a dear friend, still probably one of my favorite songs I've ever written. But this next song is a song that I wrote for another dear friend. I hope you guys enjoy it. It's called Cardiac Arrest.
Settle down.
Yeah, that was a tune called Cardiac Arrest. That's actually the first time that I've ever played it for someone who wasn't involved in the song. I hope you guys liked it. This next tune is part of my next project that I'm working on, which I haven't publicly said a lot of details about, but it's going to be a really cool project. There's going to be a lot of people involved in it, and I hope you guys like it. The name of this song is called The Devil of Whistler's Hurt. All the smoke cleared from the sky, and all the tumbleweeds started going dry, I stood ablaze in an empty town, and the creak of doors and wind was the only sound. Shot around into the air, and I was still left standing there with blood upon my hands, and in the dirt lay the devil of Whistler's Hurt. It was no man that died that night, though the buzzards might have disagreed by light. The rain came down and there was a hiss as his boots sunk down in the dirt to the abyss. I shot around into the air, and I was still left standing on my hands, and in the dirt lay the devil of Whistler's Hurt. The lonely streets heard all the noise, but there wasn't no reply except an angel's voice. He said, I saw, I said, I did, and the sky was bright with light as the demons hid. I shot around into the air, and I was still left standing there with blood upon my hands, and in the dirt lay the devil of Whistler's Hurt. Now this old town still tells the tale of an outlaw kid who saved them all from hell. I still don't know if I was right, but my work is done, my soul's gone numb, that devil's dead, and the Lord's gotta call me home. Thank you guys for watching. This has been Closed on Sundays at Owl Spirits and Music in Reform, Alabama.
All right, we are, whoa, I'm sitting high. Hello, hello, and welcome you to Porch Talk. This episode has been a long time coming now. And Garrett and I have a lot of mutual friends and stomping grounds. And, man, I appreciate you coming out to play a Closed on Sundays for us, man.
Dude, I'm glad you are having me.
I was really blowing my hair back there, dude. Three great songs.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
How long? There you go.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Well, tell me a little bit about growing up, man. How'd you get into music?
Well, we've talked about my stomping grounds being in Neshoba County. And being around there, it seems like everybody plays music. Everybody. And I grew up in a family that a lot on my grandmother's side, they all played guitar and some of them played piano. And so like family reunions, you just get together and once one person gets the guitar out, everybody gets the guitar out. And it just turns into a big picking and grinning session. And started playing guitar when I was like 13, I think. And just from there, I just fell in love with the process of here's a song, let's learn it, and let's make it mine, you know.
Like with some of the intonations and things you were doing, your voice, like as far as influence, man, I think I heard a little Jamie Johnson, that kind of style, what I would consider real country, that was in there.
Yeah, I've listened to Jamie Johnson for a really long time. In Color was probably one of the first songs I ever heard, and I was like, whoa, like, what is this, you know? Because growing up, Dad listened to a lot of, like, Stained, some Def Leppard, and that kind of stuff. And then Mom was, when I was really little, there was some Usher and some Nelly in there. And so country music was kind of something I found, I'm not going to say on my own, but, you know, I just kind of grew into it by myself. And
I don't know if, I take that back. I learned a couple of their songs, but when I was young, me and my dad, we would go, which is not very far from here, we would go to Pickensville, to the river. Mm-hmm. And on the drive there and the drive back, we would always listen to the band Alabama. And, like, that was some of my earliest, because he was a Skinnerd head, and he loved Alabama. Classic rock was a big thing, but it's just, and with their farewell tour, he got tickets, and we got to see him live. That's a pretty large range of music for your parents.
I have one memory, probably my earliest memory, is riding around with Mom in the Dodge Durango, listening to Yeah by Usher. That might be my earliest memory. She's not going to like that I said that. I apologize, but it is what it is.
Hey, it happened. Can't do nothing about it now, Mom.
Yeah, she'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, dude, like guitar at 13, would you like immediately try to do like the singer-songwriter and you were like learning how to play and sing, or would other instruments catch your eye? Or?
So guitar was not my first instrument. Drums were.
Oh, okay.
Fifth grade, I joined the band and I was a drummer. Did that all through high school. And guitar was just something I was kind of doing on the side of like, what's some country songs that I can just like play along to just to pass the time, you know? It started out as not really like I want to turn this into something career-wise, but just like, this looks fun. We got a guitar out in the shed. I'll get it out. I'll learn how to play it, whatever. But then I'd say probably about 16 is when I finally started to like, okay, maybe I can write some songs and maybe I can sing while I play. Excuse me. But yeah, just it was mostly just something to pass the time, and then over time it's grown into something a lot more than that.
Yeah, man. Like since started following each other on social media, just keeping up with you, it seems like especially since your latest album came out, it seems like you've been able to stay a whole lot more busier when it comes to your music.
I don't know that there's ever been a point in my life that I haven't been busy. I mean, just like being in high school, I was always playing in church and stuff, so it was at least twice a week for 4 or 5 hours every week. Mm-hmm. And then the whole marching band thing, and then I got to college and it was like, all right, let's play some shows, you know. So there was never really a point where it was like, oh crap, now I'm busy. It was just always,
let me figure this out. Let's just go get this in here.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, since that album came out, a lot of doors have opened up. It's been pretty cool. And it was part of the process in meeting some people that are helping influence the next project, which is really cool.
And it seemed like this to me, just Mississippi, and it might be this way everywhere. It probably is, because, you know, there ain't nothing really new under the sun, and I think it's pretty much done the same way everywhere. But just having something recorded and out there that you can share, or even, like, just getting your foot in the door to where a venue, or maybe you get to open up for a friend, but, like, it just seems like everything at first just seems so gatekept.
There's a lot
of closed doors, but like when you finally get your foot in, it seems like the world kind of opens up to you a little bit.
Right. I got to give credit where credit is due. Holly Rembarger has helped with that a lot.
Yeah.
Playing with her and just being her friend, and we'll hang out and write some songs together, and it just seems like everywhere I turn now, somebody knows Holly, and she's putting my name into places, and other people are doing the same thing, which is super cool. It's always like a buddy of a buddy of a buddy who's willing to help you out, which is really cool.
Well, man, I wanted to spend a little time here with you. I know you're from the area, and I was first introduced to it probably 3 or 4 years ago now through Philip Sable and Daniel Sharp, but greatest festival or fair in the entire state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I would say probably maybe in the whole country. But they ain't nothing like the Neshoba County Fairground.
Nothing like it, baby. Did your
family, did you grow up going to the fair?
No. Honestly, growing up, it was kind of like football wasn't the devil. It was the Neshoba County Fair.
Oh.
So the fair was kind of something. When was it? I was like 16 or something, and a buddy of mine's mom knew the person that ran like the Friday afternoon local talent thing, and me and him had been doing some duo stuff together, and so she threw us in there, and ever since then, I've just been a Neshoba County Fair guy. I go back and play that first Friday every year, and it's always super fun to get to reconnect with the old friends, especially since I've moved to Hattiesburg, just meeting Daniel and Philip and all those guys, Moon Pie.
Moon Pie Curtis.
Old Moon Pie. Yeah, it's always fun to get to come back home and do that show and just, like, hang out with everybody for a few hours.
I've played it twice with Philip under the namesake of Groove Johnson. That was one thing when I was, like, looking back on, because Daniel keeps every flyer from all time. The sage of the Neshoba County Fair is what I call him, but
that's a very good way to describe him.
There's a lot of descriptors for Daniel Sharp, but
like, that's a very good one.
Because you know he'll take those. It's an old public forum song. It's called Fair Times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all he did, he didn't have to change the word at all, but he just changed a little bit of it to make it talk about fair times at Neshoba County.
Yeah.
And, like, just the way that when I was first, like, being introduced to Neshoba County and hanging out in Philadelphia, and it was, like, May, early June, then you started seeing the signage and the advertising, and it's just talk of the town for, I mean, practically year-round. Somebody will bring it up. Well, I got a story about the fair. Well, check this out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, becoming friends with Daniel, and it's like just seeing all the history and the memorabilia of it. And like you said, man, it's like you pretty much know who's going to be playing on those Fridays. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a homecoming for a lot of those guys.
Right. It almost is a family reunion for us because a lot of those people are involved, like we were talking about earlier, with the guild in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. A lot of those people were involved there. And I got into that super early in my time playing. And so now coming back almost 10 years later since I started, it's super fun to just like, hey, you got to check out this new song I've got. And everybody's doing that with each other, or they're like, have you heard this? Or how are things going wherever you are? It's a family reunion with...
I love those shows, those Friday shows. And I might enjoy this even more, but like just getting back to a cabin and the guitars come out mm-hmm. later in the evening when everything finally cools off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you really get into some of that, what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, dude, this is what I've been working on. Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
But you got to find the right cabins.
Yeah.
Because there's some cabins where it's people are sitting out on the balcony all day worried about the horse races and throwing a bunch of money around on that. And then there's others like you're talking about where everybody's just there just chilling. Let's enjoy the AC for a little bit while we got it.
Absolutely. I don't know if I've ever been, it might be just like Bill Street Music Festival, which Memphis in May, which doesn't happen anymore, but it's not a Memphis in May music festival if it doesn't rain.
Right.
And it always seems like it's going to rain. It's going to rain for one of those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then that red clay, that red dirt.
And it just sticks to your feet. Don't wear white shoes. If you're listening to this and you're thinking about going to the Neshoba County Fair, don't wear white shoes.
Yeah. Matter of fact, whatever shoe wear, or even I would say bottoms, really, is like your pants or whatever you decide to go with. Don't wear anything you care about.
Mm-hmm.
That red dirt from Neshoba County doesn't wash out.
I'll tell you this. I always make the mistake, and I don't know why I do it, but every year I go to the fair, and I play that show, and I always wear blue jeans. I don't know why. And 10 times out of 10, I'm always turning those jeans into jorts.
Yep.
I'll get the pocket knife out and just cut them off every single year. So I've got 6 or 7 pairs of jorts that I don't wear anymore because I just – that day I needed shorts, and it was too hot.
I'm glad to start dating them. This was – this was in the Neshoba County Fair 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
Still fits. Nice.
I should keep a log of it. That's what I should do.
Yeah.
Just get a little notebook out and just start to take Polaroid pictures of the jorts and just put it next to the date.
Start getting people to sign them.
That's a
weird question, but would you sign my jorts? Excuse me? I'll sign a flyer. I'll sign a CD. I've never heard of that. And I was like, well, this is a new thing for us.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Oh, well, what was the move from the Neshoba County down to Hattiesburg? What was
school.
That? School.
It was school.
Southern Miss?
Southern Miss. Forever and always a Golden Eagle.
Hey, respect on that.
Yeah. So I went to East Central Community College for 2 years in Decatur, Mississippi. And I did music there. And then I auditioned for the School of Music in Hattiesburg at Southern Miss for the percussion studio and got in. And I've been there for 3 years. I'm actually about to go into my my internship to student teach at a high school and then graduate in December if everything goes according to plan, fingers crossed. But, yeah, moving to Hattiesburg was very much a school thing, and now it just kind of feels like home now, you know? Like,
I've got friends down there, like Grits and Green guys mm-hmm. and Tyler Tisdale and Holly is a mutual friend of ours. And the more I hang out down there, like, which my stomach ground is really like Columbus or Starkville, and... You know, we play or a lot. It's like if you was going to live anywhere else in the state of Mississippi, where would you be? Mm-hmm. Hattiesburg, without a doubt.
Yeah.
You're in striking distance of the coast. There's a great, like, it's one of the only college towns in Mississippi that actually feels like a college town.
I got to disagree.
It doesn't to you?
Not to me, because, like, Starkville, Christmas time, dead.
dead as a
from my yeah. perspective. Hattiesburg is not like that.
Oh, it's lively?
It's all year round, it's the same.
See, even, that's in like with Starkville or Oxford, like man, I grew up, went to college in Tuscaloosa and did all this. And Tuscaloosa's that way. Like, yeah, it is University of Alabama, it's a college town, but it doesn't matter what the school's doing, the town is gonna be booming.
Yeah. Like so for anyone who doesn't know, I play drums for Holly Rumbarger and the Hopeless Romantics as well. And I had that perspective that you have about, like, it just feels like a college town. Well, we did a Live at 5 in Hattiesburg early July, I think. Or no, it was early June. School's out. University's done. It felt no different than March when all the students are there. It just, people settle into Hattiesburg, some of them for school, some of them for work, and it's like they just fall in love with the town and stay. And so it just feels like home for a lot of people.
I tell you, and like the Grill and Grocery, man. I mean, I could see it.
I love Grill and Grocery.
Like, what would you do if you moved down there? I was like, I would probably be catching great live music at the Grill and Grocery every time they have an open mic or like any live event. I was like, the owners down there, they get it, and they do a great job, and it. It's a hole in the wall. It feels like a hole in the wall, but it's kind of like this. It's kind of homey.
Yeah. I love the atmosphere in Grill and Grocery. I actually went and watched these two guys, Tony Slaughter and Mason Cole. They were playing last week, and I went and saw them. And like you say, it just feels, it's cozy. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't feel like you're going to sit at some fancy bar and they got somebody playing background music off to the side. If you're there to drink, you're there to drink. If you're there to watch the show, you're there to watch the show. And everything feels normal in there. It's super cool. I love Grill.
Yeah, man. And that, I mean, right there in that SoPro area, practically right across the street, or right across the railroad tracks from Southern Prohibition, I don't remember the name of the place, but it was their first live music event. They had Drew Young, Kerry Hudson, and Tyler Tisdale play. And I don't know, it sold out that night. I hope it's working out for them. But like I say, I can't, but like, what, the Fat Hippo or the Thirsty Hippo is now a Fat Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we're seeing, like, a lot of the old venues of Hattiesburg is being rebranded and brought back. Because, like, I hear, like, Tyler and some of the guys that kind of grew up in the area, they were like, man, we used to have all these venues, and now like they're in a weird place where they're shut down, being remodeled, being brought back. He's like, if they ever get it back and get it right,
we're in.
It's
I remember when the Thirsty Hippo stopped,
because they were getting like national touring acts.
Dude, Thirsty Hippo was the place to be.
Yeah,
I loved going to the Thirsty Hippo. Was there for a year after I moved to Hattiesburg. Because I moved to Hattiesburg in 2022. And 2023, I think, it stopped being the Thirsty Hippo. And there was like a year of limbo for that place. And I remember one of the last shows that happened at the Thirsty Hippo, it was like everyone who loved the place just showered it in love. And a lot of people went home that night and just reflected on what that place was. Because it was a special place, man. And then the Fat Cat opened up, and it's just as loved by the community.
Great.
Super cool. They keep the whole, because like you say, Thirsty Hippo was getting great music. They were getting national acts. Fat Cat is keeping the great music going. They do have a little more of like an underground, like a rockish scene. Mm-hmm. Some of these, like that kind of like, I'm not going to say Skater Boy.
But, I know. But, yeah, it's kind of like very indie, underground. Yeah,
they do have a much bigger vibe of that than the Hippo did, but they're still keeping awesome music. Like, I've played at the Fat Cat twice with two different groups, and both times it was just awesome. There's no place like that building. I don't know if they have some sort of special elixir that they spread all over the ground or they keep it in the air vents, but it's special in there, man.
And something else about Hattiesburg, if y'all are not aware of this, but not only does it possibly have like one of the better or best music scenes, and just the local musicians, just the amount of talents that's sitting right there, is incredible, but also it has a thriving comedy scene.
It does.
And which is like, not even Jackson has that.
Yeah. It's, I'm going to say this, and I hope that if he hears this, he knows I mean it out of love, but I was so happy to see our mayor do a stand-up set one night.
Oh, man, that's cool.
It was awesome to see that. Like, it blew up all over social media. Like, Toby Parker did stand-up, and it was so cool to see that. Like, he loves what we're talking about right now, and he's a big supporter of it. Like, we have New Year's Eve, they host a big, like, downtown on Front Street thing that Holly has played that I've been a part of, and some people like to call that Toby Barker's birthday party. He's a huge supporter of stuff like that, just getting all these local acts together and let's just show off what's in this town.
And I think it was his administration, and this is one thing that I love of, like, I want to get the outside of this building painted up and like do a cool mural on it. Mm. But the murals,
dude,
and the architecture in that town, vibrant, man.
It's awesome how much art is present in that city. A buddy, the bass player in the band that I'm in, his girlfriend actually does a lot of the murals around town, and she's super talented, and it's always fun when she posts something, and it's like, oh, that's another thing that we can just add to this collection of awesome things that are in our city.
So moved down to Hattiesburg for school, fell in love with the place. And, man, best of luck to you because, man, I'll definitely consider you one of the lucky ones. It's like, as passionate as you are about music, to be able to work and be able to make your living from doing music, no matter what it is, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Because most people, they don't get that chance.
Yeah, it's... I don't take it for granted. I recognize how lucky I am, and all the little things that I started doing back in the day, like, oh, let me just pick up this instrument, and now, like, I've gotten gigs in Hattiesburg playing mandolin, and, like, somebody will call me and say, hey, I need a steel pan player for something, and I can go do that, and I don't take those opportunities for granted. I recognize how blessed I am for that.
Absolutely, man. Well, I wanted to spend a little time about the latest album that you put out, or we could go over the entire body of work that you have, but when you first contacted, it was going to be around the time for Introspection coming out.
Yeah.
So, man, just for those listening, you caught a song or two, well, one.
One, yeah.
Off of that record. It was Cardiac Arrest.
It was Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, the opening song. And... man, just to give people a little taste, is where the name come from, and like the songs, was it all about introspection or?
So that album, these are songs that I've just like had in my back pocket, voice memos on my phone for at least 2 years, except for the last one. And eventually I'd been sitting on these songs, I didn't know what I wanted to do with them. And eventually I was just like, why not just throw them all out there at once and just see what happens? But the more I thought about it, the more I realized how, like, deeply personal all of these songs were to me. Like, they all told a part of my life, whether it was a time, a place, or a feeling. And the more I listened to them, the more it made me self-reflect. And so that's kind of how it became the Introspective Sessions. And they're all, except for Elizabeth, they're all just like me sitting with the guitar, just one take, let's just play it and see what happens. There is one that has piano instead of guitar. But yeah, it was just one of those things of like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these songs, but they don't just need to sit here anymore. I got to do something with them. So I put them out there, and Elizabeth has kind of become a fan favorite of some people.
Man, it's crazy with songwriting. Is it always, at least for me, it always seems like the song that I really don't think people are going to take a liking to, or maybe I didn't even really like the song. It kind of happened, and it was like, well, we'll play it and see what happens. And then it's like the show's over, and they were like, oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
And I was like, the throwaway?
Yeah. Because that's what I thought. There's a song on that record called Giving Myself the Blame. And I thought that one was going to be the one that was like, yeah, like, let's go. And then Elizabeth was the one that people are texting me and being like, dude, I listen to this song every day.
I mean, that would be a daily burner for me, man. Like, and then, you know, you shared a little bit about the story about being in Spain and then coming home. And
yeah.
But like, with each of the songs you shared, man, the music, the guitar work is great, but also like, you ain't wasting any time with the lyrics, which is important to me.
Yeah. I told this to somebody the other night. I don't want to misquote him, but I want to say it was Hank Jr. I could be very wrong about that. But they said, if you can't write a song in 15 minutes, it's not worth writing.
Whoa.
And I don't take that literally. Let me put that out there. I don't sit down and put on a timer for 15 minutes on the stove, and when it goes off, I'm done. But I try to just, like, how would I say this? Because I'm not going to say, like, the birds were chirping and, like, take 20 minutes to set the scene. If I need to tell you something, I'm just going to tell you. And so yeah. I try to do that in my songwriting. And I think I get a lot of that from, like, Tyler Childers and the Steel Woods and all those guys, Coulter Walls, like all those characters that are just like no nonsense songwriters, because mm-hmm. I would love to just listen to those guys talk, you know, like I would love to have conversations.
And you know, many of those songs, and I mean that was with like Elizabeth especially, it feels like it's not only talking about like a place,
yeah.
but the place could also be a person.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that geographical part of it was always something cool to me, and you wrap a story into that. Like a lot of times when it comes to a Sturgill or Tyler Childers, it's like they're telling a 3.5 minute story.
Yeah.
And they're not sparing any of the details. They're just going to tell you what you need to know.
Right. Because imagine writing an email to your boss and it's 10 miles long when it could have been 2 sentences. That's how I treat songwriting. You know, mm-hmm. Nobody wants to sit there and listen to the fluff. Let's just get to the meat of it, you know?
Yeah, I think it's called, what is that app called? But it was designed for people that might be on the spectrum or even, like, super bad ADHD. And I cannot remember the Goblin Tools.
Okay.
And so, like, even if it comes to a task, like, let's say... Like, you got a roommate or maybe a brother or a sister who, like, they cannot get it together enough just to clean their room. And so, like, Goblin Tools would be like, I need to clean my room. They would type that in, and they would break it down step by step. Start with the dirty clothes. Get them off the floor. Mm. Get them to the laundry room.
Yeah.
And then if that needed more explaining, you could tap it.
Yeah.
And it would further expand it. But also, Goblin Tool, and I use them, when it comes to emails or like tough situations, yeah. is like it can do email, it can do text message, it can do letter, like whatever you're trying to do, mm-hmm. is I need to sarcastically tell my boss that I think he's an asshole, and it's like on the spot, like it's like give us a little detail about what's going on, and we're about to be really sarcastic.
I might need to check this.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's a free app too, man. It's like, but. You know, it's just like any of these other AI tools that are out, but it has helped me with like a lot of pretty tough situations.
Yeah. Sidebar, you brought up AI, and I need to reference a past episode of Porch Talk where y'all were talking about the AI Bigfoot and the AI baby videos.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the Strawberry Moon episode. Dude, that was the funniest thing ever. Because I love when something relates to me. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I approach songwriting, not to get, like, deep about Bigfoot AI videos or whatever. But, hearing that and thinking, oh, man, my Facebook or my TikTok has been full of these Bigfoot AI videos, and it just made it even funnier for me.
Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of times when we're just the boys episodes or whatever, it's like, it's we're about to spend an hour talking about the algorithm, and it's usually, like, other listeners, like... Well, it'll be a DM or a text message to be like, our algorithm is the same. And I was like, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, we're all having a good time then.
Yeah. I don't know. I I listened to that episode probably 3 or 4 times, and every time it just got funnier, man.
Yeah, some of those, even like the early ones, we used to do like sketches and things, and we would put the sketches at the beginning of the episode and then like do the just talking part. But
yeah,
I'll go back and listen to some of that shit, and I'm like, not bad.
Not bad. Well, that's like, I don't know if I've told you this, but I've been a fan of Porch Talk for at least a few years.
Oh, man, appreciate it.
So, like, being here is really cool for me because I have some old friends from the show, like Daniel and Philip. They all talked about it.
And Daniel, his, it became a saga.
Mm. I need to go back and re-listen to those.
We did, he asked me to come out to the cabin, and he's like, I'm going to tell you my story. And, like, for a lot of people, like, Daniel, even if you're from Philadelphia, Daniel is, like, this mystique.
He is. He's the sage.
Yeah. Like, he'll just pop up out of nowhere, play a show, disappear.
And then he's gone for 6 months.
Yeah. And you don't know. And he...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's like, I'm going to finally tell the story and we're going to put it on. And I was like, I get this story? Like, I mean, you could have took this to, I feel like, CNN or somebody, oh, yeah. You know?
Dude, you could have took it anywhere in the world. So that's super cool. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. That's really cool.
And, like, I think we've done 6 episodes, maybe 7 together. And just each time, it's like, what a character.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely, like, the mold was broken after he was made. There will never be another Daniel
right.
Sharp.
Yeah, that never. And if anybody tries to be the next Daniel Sharp, I'm sorry, but you're going to fail.
I mean, like, every time I'm either it's a text chain or just a phone call with Philip Sable, mm-hmm. it's going to come up. I was like, have you heard from Daniel? No, man, it's been about 4 months, but the right. Shelby County Fair is popping up, so he's going to have to show his head.
He'll be there. And I always, so Chrissy Long normally organizes the whole Neshoba County Fair thing, right?
Uh-huh.
And I always anticipate, because she texts me around like early April, and she's like, hey, do you want to do the show again? Yeah, of course. And I always wait to get that lineup and just make sure that Daniel's name is going to be on.
Same. Right when Philip shared the lineup, I was, Where's Daniel?
I'm looking for Daniel. I'm looking for Philip. I'm looking for Moon Pie. And recently, I'm looking for Zachariah Lloyd.
Yeah.
By the way, dude's killing it. Like, dude's got some good stuff out there.
Yes, he does.
I recently went back and listened to some of Daniel's stuff and just reminded myself how good of a storyteller he is. He's so good at, like, painting the picture.
I have... And I don't know if you remember this CD, but most of them now are spray painted black because it was a All Around Hounds album.
Mm-hmm.
But the front image was, and the reason they spray painted over it is she's married with children now, but they had one of their friends get butt naked and like throw the thumb out and hitchhike for the album cover. But that was the album that had Fast Moving Something.
Yeah.
And, but like, There's not a bad all-around hound song.
No, there's not. It's insane. Like, there's few artists that I can go listen to
front to back
and front to back and know what I'm going to get. And All Around Hounds is one of those bands that I could just, let's turn this on and I know exactly the mood it's going to put me in. I'm just going to sit here and just enjoy it, you know.
And there's going to be a pirate shanty.
There's going to be a pirate shanty.
And then, like, I think there's two, maybe three All Around Hounds, but, like, there's always a ghost track. There's a hidden mm-hmm. song in there.
Yep.
Like, they did all the fun stuff.
Which makes me so happy. I love stuff like that. Like, when, was it Tool that did that one album, and it was a CD, and it had, like, 70-something tracks on it, but 50 or 60 of them were like 1 second clips. Mm-hmm. I love stuff like that, dude.
A little light trolling.
Yes.
Or I think it was Tool again that, like, the, it might have been just the record, but it probably was a CD too, but it was, one album was just one song.
Mm.
It was just one 40 minute song.
Yes. I know what you're talking about. That kind of stuff is awesome to me. Which segue, it's weird. It's like going to school for music, and I got big into the jazz scene. Started listening to a lot of jazz, started playing jazz, and finding some of these artists that are putting out like 30-minute songs. And this stuff is crazy. Like, there's some crazy stuff out there to listen to. Like, mm-hmm. never done it. Don't know. I don't want to. But you sit down and listen to some of these songs, you feel like you're tripping, dude. Like, it just puts you somewhere else. It's crazy to hear some of this stuff.
There is a, like, we'll call it Mars, the McGowan Art Retreat. So, Joe was a big part of, like, how I met Holly.
Mm.
He connected us. And you ever get a chance to go out on that property, like, you're there 5 or 10 minutes. Like, I understand exactly what you're going, like, talking about with the music. It's some kind of euphoria.
You're not here anymore.
His property is that way.
Oh.
Like, just with all the artwork and just the scenery. And also, like, just because, like, everybody that's kind of on that property is creative, like, you're doing your best work. Just because of, like, where you physically are. But it takes you to another realm, it seems like.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so hard to, like, recreate. It's even harder just to, like, create a space like that.
Yeah. Most of those places, you got to find them. You know?
And it's usually, like, when I first moved to Starkville, man, I would go out to the refuge, the Knoxby County mm-hmm. Refuge. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was a place to work. Because, man, I grew up in a town smaller than this, Kennedy. And I'm not used to, and, like, Starkville is not exactly a hustle-bustle place. It moves fairly slow. But, man, I can't be around concrete too much. I got to get out, and I got to be by the water, or I got to get out in the woods for a little bit. And I might need to yell at something. Just get away from just people. It's not that I hate them. It's just I just got to reset myself. I got to recenter.
That's the tough thing about Hattiesburg, too. If you're lucky enough to have somewhere that mm-hmm. you've got some acreage and you might have
That's
some
what I love water. About Pedal.
Dude, yes.
Pedal's where it's at.
Pedal's special. It's a special place, man. A lot of those, like, little towns around Hattiesburg are super special. Like, even if you think about Laurel, like, it's a little bigger.
Yeah, shout out Dale Smith, man. He's got that great coffee shop.
Yes. I met him for the first time. When was that?
It was probably at that little music venue, like, just down the road from his shop.
No, it wasn't. We were doing, so I do choir stuff at USM. And it was, we were doing a tribute show to James Mulholland. And he was in it. And we did that show together. And that was the first time I'd ever met him. And me and, like, I don't know how I got wrapped up in this group, but it was, like, me and a couple composers and Dale Smith and, like, a couple other people just, like, sitting down having dinner before the show. And dude's an interesting guy. I love him.
Dude, incredibly talented. Like,
yes.
One of the most talented musicians I've mm-hmm. come across. And, like, I love what he does for Red and the Revelers and, like, his other projects, but married, and he's got some youngins on the way. He doesn't really get to do it as much now, but you ever get a chance to catch Dale Smith in action?
You should.
You should. You owe it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for the heads. But, yeah, dude, like, like when you said Laurel, that's the first person that comes to my mind. And which I like that little live venue that they have. It's right next to that motorcycle bar. I can't remember the name of it. But it's great.
I recently did a show at an ATV park in Laurel. I think it's Renaissance ATV, maybe.
That's great. See, I love stuff like that.
They just like pulled a trailer up. It was just a like a 22-foot flatbed trailer. Set up a couple speakers, and we played a show. It was super cool. And that was actually where I met. We can get into this if you want.
Let's go.
That's where I met this chick named Savannah Lee.
Okay.
Her social media handles are Dolly Possum.
Oh, boy.
Which is awesome, by the way. Is it not? That's great. Really talented songwriter. She's in South Carolina right now. We met at that gig because I was opening up for this other guy, and she was there. And instantly, it was just like creative energies just meshed instantly. It felt like we had known each other for years.
Now, is she going to be one of the... I know when you did your live set, the last song you shared, is that going to be like something that she's going to be
part of? She is very heavily involved in that album.
Very cool.
And she's got this kind of like, I'm not going to say rootsy, but it feels like down home, you know, kind of bluegrassy vibe to her. And she's, her voice is just like this raw, you just, it feels like Memaw sitting around picking the guitar. It feels amazing. I love the energy that she brings to the table, and she's helped me write a lot of the songs and come up with some of the concepts and meeting people to get involved in this album. She's how I found out about Tony Slaughter, which is crazy that he's from Kentucky, and she brought his name up, and then it was like the next day she called me and was like, dude, he's doing a show in Hattiesburg, you gotta go see him.
That's how it works.
It was crazy, man.
Serendipity.
But yeah, she's helping me a lot with this album, which is great because it's an uncomfortable space for me right now because it's different than anything I've done before. We'll talk about it. This will be my announcement that it's in the works. I'm writing a concept album. And it's basically if Oh Brother Where Art Thou was Cowboys.
Oh, very cool. I kind of get that vibe from that song that you shared.
That last song that I played in the set is the closer for the album. Because the story is basically like this outlaw. He meets this guy who gives him a map that'll lead him to a treasure. And he goes on this journey and meets all these mythical creatures. Like he's going to meet the sirens. He's going to meet a centaur. He's going to meet
So he's having an oracle. Odyssey.
Yeah, it's the Odyssey, but outlaw. And he goes on this journey, and eventually winds up killing the devil, and that's how the album ends. But it's not just uncomfortable for me right now because it's a different album than I've written before, but it's also uncomfortable because it's the most collaborative thing I've ever done. Like, most of the stuff I've done has been just me.
Yeah. And like you said, one shot, just hit the red button,
right.
You and a guitar.
And, like, I'm just sitting in the bedroom, have an idea, I'll write the whole song myself. But now I'm getting other people to help me write. And also, anytime, because I've had a couple of projects out in the past that were, like, full band stuff, and I ended up taking them down. But I did almost all that stuff myself. Like, record a track of guitar, break. Record a track of bass, break. Drums, break. And this will be the first time that I ever have other people playing instruments on my records. And from what it seems, there's going to be a lot of guest artists on this record, too.
That's cool, man. But, like, just with, like, your background and as many instruments as you can play and, like, are, like, not just, yeah, I know how to play the mandolin, but proficient.
Yeah.
Is it been hard for you to give up some of that creative process of it to, like, okay, here you go?
Very. Very hard. I'm very selfish with my work because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And I fear that if I give it to somebody else, then they're going to mess it up. But so far, I've got at least three other songwriters on this album. And that's the first time I've ever had more than one, much less that many, you know, and I'm hoping that there's going to be even more.
Man, cool project, man. And, like, I mean, I just think about how much you're probably going to just grow as a person and a musician just for, like,
yeah,
loosening up on those reins a little
yeah.
bit.
I'm hoping that not just for me, but I'm hoping that this project benefits everyone involved, because one of my goals is I see too much competition in music, you know what I mean? Like, so many people are like, oh, they're playing a show, I got to play a bigger one now. And I'm hoping that with this project, because, like, this might be an album where every song has a guest artist. It's going to be one of those. And I'm hoping that this person's audience shows up to hear this, but then they hear everyone else, and they're like, oh, man, I didn't know about that guy. Let me start following him. So now if this person has 3,000 and this other person has 3,000 following them, now both of them have 6. Mm-hmm. And so we're just growing each other as a community rather than competing with each other.
That was, and I learned a lot of that just from Daniel Sharp.
Yeah.
I get the competitive spirit, and there's nothing wrong with being competitive, but, like, when it comes to anything like this, it's like, it is so important for us to be cooperating.
Yeah.
Like, music should be cooperation, not competitive.
Yeah.
But I mean, I totally get it. I mean, it's just like any other industry or field. Like, is there going to be backstabbing and everything? Yes. Yes, there is.
Of course.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
We're humans, and I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
But the beautiful part of it, there can be cooperation, and everybody can sit at the table and can win.
Yeah.
Like with the new Clothes on Sundays, man, and I'm glad that you took me up on it and came and played it. Is like, I'm hoping, like, when, you know, somebody says, oh, Garrett Johnson was on this Clothes on Sundays. Well, let's look at the catalog.
Yeah.
I hope that opens you up to, like, somebody that you never heard of. Maybe that's your new favorite artist.
Yeah.
And that's, whether it was Porch Fest or, like, hell, this show. It's like, that's the whole point. We're all about discovery.
Which, by the way, you better get me on at Porch Fest.
And here's the kicker on that. Here's an announcement. I have not officially decided yet, but we are either going to take 1 year off, or, like, I'm going to restructure and reframe the entire thing.
Wow.
I haven't figured it out yet.
Wow.
But yeah, definitely, I'm going to put you on it with whatever we decide to do.
Yeah. Well, I hope good things for that, dude.
Because we have done it 3 years at Munson's now, and this last year, we started Friday at 5, and we usually run it to midnight. Then we start at noon on Saturday and run it to midnight. And I thought this last Saturday, it was about 6 in the evening, and I was like, I can't do this shit no more.
Yeah,
like, I'm having a good time. We've been doing it for 7 years, and like, Phillips always ran sound for me. Me and him got in a fight on Friday night, and I didn't know if he was going to show back up Saturday.
Dang,
he did. He showed up early and, like, acted like nothing ever happened, and I apologize. I was in the wrong, but I'm running a festival, and, like, I had a freak out.
Yeah,
and then, you know, so all Friday night after the festival was over, I'm not sleeping because I was like, we don't even have fucking sound tomorrow. I mean, what are we gonna do? And I was like, I gotta figure this shit out.
Yeah,
and he shows up, and I'm like, thank God. And I got Big John with me. He's like, look, man, you can't sweat the little things, and you can't let the little things sweat, man. It's just like, everything's going to be what it is. He's like, you did all the planning and everything you could do. You just got to let it go and let it breathe. And I was like, you understand how hard that is to do, though? Because I was like, I've got an expectation. Each year we're trying to raise the bar. We want to do it bigger and better. And I was like, I don't know how we can do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't want to quit. I mean, it's such a good time, and I really don't want to take a year off, but something's got to give. Something's got to change.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, you know, especially with something like that. Like you say, it's got to be great.
Because it's not worth like, losing a friendship or going in the hole with a lot of debt because, like, I didn't have enough sponsors come, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we're just going to restructure. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tighten up the lineup and make Saturday to where it's not so long.
Yeah.
Like
that is a long time, dude.
Yeah.
That's 12 straight hours.
And what was crazy to me this year, dude, is like I figured like a young family, like a man, wife, two little kids, or, you know, kids below 10 years old, they're going to come out, maybe catch two or three performers, get a bite to eat, maybe have a beer, whatever, and they'll move on about their day. Dude, when someone showed up at 12 or 1 or 2 that Saturday, they stayed the entire time.
Which is awesome.
And I was like, that's so rare.
Yeah.
Because usually, you know, you're going, it's hot, we've ate, the kids are tired of being here, they're acting a fool, let's get out of here. Mm-mm. Everybody, it was all eyes on stage.
Well, part of that is a testament to how good Porch Fest is, but it's also a testament to your contact list, dude. There's all, everybody at Porch Fest is awesome.
Like, yeah.
That, everybody that takes the stage is great.
That lineup, and that was another thing, is like, I was like, I don't know how we up this. But we'll figure it out.
I hope you do. I mean, I'd hate to see it go. You
know? I'm not going to let it go. I do like to scare the shit out of people, though. It's like, you're going to take a year off, or you going to...
Well, you did just scare me.
But we'll go figure it out. But, yeah, dude, you'll definitely be...
awesome.
I don't know. Dude, I was super impressed with that.
I appreciate that.
Super impressed with your set.
Thank you.
But, yeah, man, Savannah and the new Odyssey of the Cowboy... That's going to be interesting, giving up creativity.
Yeah.
What else are you excited about for the future?
I'm ready to finish school, dude. I'm so ready to be done. I love Southern Miss, but I'm ready to get out of that building. I mean, cool things are happening with Holly, and it's fun to be a part of that process, you know, like helping her creatively and you know, meeting people through her, like her guitar player, Troy, who is awesome, by the way. Shout out Troy Tippy. He came to my apartment the other night, and we were chopping out some stuff for this record. Because as long as he doesn't back out, he's gonna play guitar for me on the record. Yeah, this record is taking the forefront of my mind right now. Because it's... The cool thing is that there's a lot of people involved, but the bad thing is there's a lot of people involved. And so that's just a lot.
Moving parts, man.
Yeah. And like trying to coordinate all that. And like now, this is the first time that I'm having to like give myself deadlines on my projects.
That's what I was about to recommend, but it sounds like you've already figured it out. Like anytime I'm working like a big group or like we're working on a project, even Porch Fest,
yeah.
Deadlines, man. And you got to hold people's feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we're a week out. Are you ready?
Yeah. That's what, like, I want to start tracking stuff mid-August. And I don't have a time when I want to be done with the record, but I got to finish writing it. So that's on me. My bad. But, yeah, I want to start tracking mid-August and hopefully have it out at some point, maybe late next year. That would be cool. But I'm also... doing everything myself. Like, I'm not attached to a label, which is great. It's super fun to have.
I have a lot of respect for what Brett Newsky and a lot of indie musicians are doing right now. Yeah. They are no longer putting their music on Spotify, Apple Music. If you want to have it digitally, it's on Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they are pushing. And it's all coming back full circle. Like, more people want a CD or a record now more than ever.
Which this one will be the first time, because I do want to do vinyls and I want to do CDs, and it'll be the first time that I do that with one of my projects. And I have heavily
If you're doing an indie, I use Gotta Groove out of Cleveland for...
I have heard of that, yeah.
That's who I use. Great prices, very easy to work with.
But yeah, I've very heavily considered getting off the streaming stuff. But... You know, like I got, like my Nana wants to listen to my music, you know. And
yeah,
so I got to have it somewhere that she can easily access it.
You know, and I was talking to Brett Newsky, like the latest record has been out for a couple of months now, Americana and Capital C-O-N. and he's an Americana artist, mm-hmm. but he spelled it with an O. But and that was his big campaign. He's like, dude, like, I'm tired of getting taken advantage of. I'm tired of, like, my music being on this platform, and I'm not making what it should be.
Yeah.
And he was like, so the best thing that I can do, if you're a music fan, just download the Bandcamp app. If you want to have it on your phone like that, you can download it. You can have it right there. Other than that, you're going to just have to buy it from me at one of my shows, yeah. or I'll mail it to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, old school, and I dig it.
Yeah.
But also, like, to your case, it's like, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
Like, I think it will definitely hurt more not being on Spotify because...
It's Spotify.
Your mama, your sister, your brother, your cousin, like, that's what everybody goes to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, what it's become, like, I mean, you probably see the same ads I do on Instagram, but it's every other post is an ad of, try this new AI algorithm, and it'll help you get your songs on the playlist to get you millions of listens.
There's one company, I'm not going to say the name of it, because I don't want any kind of flames or anything, but I'm so sick of seeing ads from one particular company of, like, we can boost your editorial playlist algorithm by 3 times for, like, $24.99. And I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, you know, it's... And God, I hate the whole pay-for-play thing. I hate that so much. And I hate that it's getting to the point where you got to do that. You know? Like, if you want anything to happen from your music and you want people to know about it,
yeah,
that's what you got to do. Which is why I have massive respect for, like... There's this guy that I've been following, Joshua Sloan. I don't know if you've heard of this guy.
Mm-mm.
He's on TikTok. He has no music out. Sold out every show date that he released with no music out.
Is he just like TikTok videos?
TikTok videos. He's got a song that blew up on TikTok. He's got a couple. One of them is, what's the name? It's like Your Place at My Place. That's the name of it. He got like 900,000 something views on it, and then those 900,000 views weren't just like on that one video. A lot of those people stayed.
You know that Jesse Wells?
Yes.
He's like the folk.
Mm-hmm.
I think TikTok and those little videos was his thing, and he's big now. I mean, like, yeah. He's internationally touring. Red Clay Strays, mm-hmm. Brandon, frontman, his brother Matthew, is a camera wizard.
Mm.
RCA found them because of TikTok.
Mm.
Like, if I was going to give anybody any kind of advice, I was like, don't give a damn about your Spotify. Like,
dude, I've been hearing that so much
this year. It's all about your TikTok, dude. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have it. But I was like, if I was going to do it again, if I was going to start over, that's where I would start. That's because that's where everybody is. Hell, yeah. I mean, like, your crazy uncle, that's where he gets his news.
Right? I don't want to sound like that artist, but, like, it is, for me, because I try to pour so much of my creative energy into my songs, yeah. It's hard for me to come up with videos, dude. And they're talking about you got to post, like, 3 times a day for it to blow up.
Well, that was a big thing, like, when Instagram was all the biz, right? It's like, oh, you got to have stories out by 10 a.m., 1 p.m.,
yep.
And then right after they get home, about 5:30 p.m., and, like, that way you always stay on people's minds. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I just find that annoying. And when, like, other people are doing, I was like, I get what you're doing and respect for the game on that, but damn,
it might
not
be for me, dude. And people, like, the problem is I saw one video on TikTok that was like, hey, you got to post 3 times a day. And now it's like my entire algorithm is just that. But, like, I'm seeing people that are talking about, like, you can make 5 pieces of content out of 1 verse. And I'm like, how? Like, what are y'all doing? Like, are you just, like, walking around filming yourself lip syncing? Or, like, what are you?
Oh, I think I know the types that you're talking about. There's this group, and I am not gonna even, like, step into the shitting on them, but there's this like country duo that everybody accuses them of, like, letting AI write their lyrics, Landlaw. And then there's another one, like Joey Bro,
mm-hmm.
the karaoke guy,
yeah.
And, like, course he can't sing, but like, I don't know if it's like his hips, his dancing, or a mix of it. Like, there's something about it. I'm like, why do I like this?
Why don't I want to go? Why do I want to stay and watch?
Yeah. Because I'm having fun. Like, am I laughing at him or I'm laughing with him? I don't know, but I'm having a good time right now.
Have you seen the thing about the band that's supposedly full AI generated?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it.
It was one of the first things that I saw, and supposedly, like, they've got this sold-out tour coming or whatever.
Right. Like, there's no videos of them anywhere. They've got, like, two promo pictures out, but it just looks so fake.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Everything about it, like, I was like, those do look like your prototypical guys that would be in a band like that, but yep. I was like, they don't even look real.
Right. Like, their faces are almost too perfect. You know what I mean? And I did go and listen to one of their songs. I don't remember which one it was, but even the music felt a little like,
it was too perfect.
Is this a computer? You know, like, that's another scary thing is AI music. AI music is terrifying to me.
AI, like, it's funny, like, that whole technology, like, everything that I think our original intent and, like, what we thought we were going to use it for, it's like, well, say goodbye to washing dishes or washing clothes, you know? Now it's, it's coming after the art?
I just wanted to watch Will Smith eat some pasta. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
You know? And now I'm worried.
Look at how far that came in 3 years.
Dude, it's crazy.
But yeah, it's like, and when you make a Bigfoot video or like, I'm into that, or even the alien ones where they're street walking in like New York, like, that's cool. But like, when it comes to like, you have, and I think the physical artists are going to be hurting the most.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing about a song to me, and I think there is no way that AI could ever beat it, is their soul. Like, when you share a song that you wrote that means something to you, like, that there's a human connection. And like, when I see it, when I hear it, I'm able to connect with you because of like, I can connect to that human condition or the feeling behind it. AI can't replicate that.
And that's also something about live music. You know, like, you'll never get the same feeling out of a speaker from a computer as you will being in the room when that happens. You know, there's something special about it.
Yep.
I don't know. AI's scary. Music is cool.
Yeah. And we're going to keep on keeping on. But when it comes to the physical artist, because it's like, whether it's Instagram or like Facebook or whatever app I'm on, it's like, dude, take this picture and our AI machine will make it look like you were a king. And
right.
I was like, that looks cool. And I would actually use that for a show flyer. But like, I just find that disrespectful to like all my
You got somebody friends. That can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and you're taking away their commission time. You know, yeah. Like, and that's, oh my gosh, I have been so wrapped up in the album art for this next project for some reason. I don't know why. I don't even have all the songs written. And I'm worried about this album art. And, like, I'm trying to think of how I want it to be done. The only certainty that I know is I don't want AI to touch it. That's the only certainty I know. Like, I want to get somebody who knows what they're doing and is a good artist, preferably somebody local, that can take my ideas and turn them into something real. You know? Because that's special. You know, like, with my songs, I could take something somebody else wrote and adjust it a little bit, not change it, but adjust it and make it mine. Somebody else can do that with my concept for the art, you know? And I love seeing someone else take your vision and make it something you didn't know you needed.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, like, with the new signage that's coming for my, I mean, you know, boomers, and thank God you knew that, and that's how you got here. But, like, with my signage out there, Ra, he's the same guy that has designed every flyer for Porch Fest ever. And, like, I'll send commission, and, like, slowly coming together. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, the signage is going to be ready. The walls are going to be painted. I'm going to hire a muralist. And, like, but, like, yeah, we could just paint the damn building whatever color and just be done. No, let's do something cool.
Yeah.
Let's bring,
Make it special.
Because that's what I like about Hattiesburg. Is like, no matter where you turn your head when you're driving the street, there's some cool art somewhere.
Yeah.
And it pops, and it...
Especially when
it makes the whole
downtown.
Town more interesting.
Yeah.
But, Webb, who did that, and now the new backdrop for Close on Sundays with that new signage, mm-hmm. he called me one day. He's like, you like Travis Scott? And I said, the rapper? I said, yeah. I said, not particularly. He said, all right, bet. I got this concept I'm working on, and I'll help bring it to you in a little bit. And about... hour and a half, 2 hours later, he showed up. He's like, I took this Travis Scott record and I made some more vinyl, and I laid vinyl on vinyl, and now you have a... there's your first signage.
I love that he was like, do you like Travis Scott? Do you care if I mess up that record?
Because, I mean, the thing that we liked about it the most was it was blue.
Yeah.
That was awkward.
I mean, it's cool, yeah.
I don't know.
But took somebody else's art and shit on it a little bit. Nothing against my Travis Scott heads out
there.
Yeah. That's just what we think is funny.
Yeah.
But, well, dude, let's do three more and we'll wrap it up. Man, I wanted to ask you about, like, just venues. Like, is there a venue in your mind to where, like, you've always dreamed about playing?
Well, there's the obvious of Red Rocks.
Yeah.
That's the obvious one, but it's the real one, you know? Like, to be able to go somewhere and get a rock, that's a dream right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, there's all these places in Tennessee that I'd love to go play. Maybe not Nashville. But, nothing against Nashville, but maybe not there for me. And I don't know. I mean, really just the rock. That'd be so cool.
Hell yeah.
To be able to have a rock. I'd love that bragging right for myself.
They're not my favorite band anymore. It changed on me, but I used to love Band of Horses. I still do. It's just they're not my favorite band anymore. And I think the big reason behind that live was the last three times I saw them, I don't know, it just wasn't... I've seen them probably 12 times. And, like... the last three times I saw him being the front man, and, you know, God only knows, it could have been the road, it could be anything, but he got too fucked up.
Mm.
And I was like, man, I hate I paid money for this.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like those old Hank shows where, yeah. Or George Jones, where it's like, you don't know if he's going to walk out on stage or if he's going to have to crawl or what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't going to be what you paid for.
Yeah.
No. And...
Let me backtrack. Red Rocks is the obvious dream, but maybe the more realistic one is the Brandon Amphitheater. I love that venue in Jackson. Love that venue. It's a coffee filter, dude.
Huh.
I was listening to a podcast with Bert Kreischer one time. I think he was talking to Jelly Roll.
Yeah, he always does his big tour. He goes to Brandon every year.
The Fully Loaded Festival.
Yeah.
He loves the Brandon Amphitheater, and he explained it as it seats 5,000, feels like 3. Because it's a coffee filter. There's not a bad seat in there, in my opinion. I've been to a lot of shows there. There's not a bad seat. I would love to go somewhere, and no matter what you pay, you get to enjoy the concert because it's a good seat. I'm a big proponent of it doesn't matter how much money you got. You should be able to enjoy live music.
But my favorite record that Band of Horses ever put out, they did it live at the Ryman.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the old Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a cool spot.
But the Ryman would be cool.
But even better to me is like I would just want to go see somebody like that I love listening to that much at that venue.
Yeah,
playing it would be one thing, but like
just to go sit in those pews.
Yeah,
dude,
and like
awesome.
Just imagine like if you were a guest. Like, okay, tonight we're doing a live recording. And I was like, oh, my God. We're going to get the very damn best out of these guys tonight.
Because I know this is their one shot. They can't mess it up tonight.
Yep.
I am hoping. This is pure speculation. I have no idea if it's going to happen. It might not. I would love for the Steel Woods to release their last concert at the Ryman. That would be so cool.
I tell you, someone else who rocks, you probably like them, the Wood Brothers.
Yes. Dude.
And I prefer all their live stuff over their recorded.
No, I'm a big Steel Woods guy. Big Steel Woods guy. I was so sad when they announced. I understand why Wes Bayless left, but I was so sad when they announced that they were disbanding.
Hey, when it comes to Mandolini, like Chris Thiele?
Yeah. I don't listen to as many mandolin players as I should, but...
Dude, I was like Nickel Creek or Punch Brothers or, I mean, and he's one of those guys, like, there's a lot of guitarists. There's quite a few drummers. There's bassists. Like, you're never going to mistake whether or not Flea from the Chili Peppers was playing that bass line. Like, oh, that's Flea.
Yep.
Or, like, you're always going to know if it's, you know, John Mayer playing guitar. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a sound. But, like, Thiele is like, he is just so leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Levels. Like, I think I was exposed to him first from like an NPR Tiny Desk.
Mm.
And that was back, golly, that was like, I think it was a Nickel Creek. I don't even think it was Punch Brothers. But like, I just typed in Chris Thiele and Punch Brothers came up and I just bought every CD they had. And I was like, I love this.
That's a very valid thing to do. Yeah, that's understandable.
But I was like, and I hope all that comes back. But like with the Stillwoods or like stuff like that, I was like, I want more of this kind of music,
mm-hmm.
and I want it to be mainstream. Like I'm not gonna be I'm not gonna be a hip or a hipster about it. Be like, well, I knew about them back in 2018 when they were when they were busking the streets of Hattiesburg.
Yeah, you
know, it's like no, it's good that everybody knows. Don't be a dick about it.
That's what. We don't have to get off on this if you don't want to. I don't know if we have time for it, but there's no shame in finding Sleep Token from Take Me Back to Eden. There's no shame in that. If you were a follower of Sleep Token from Sundown,
Webb,
good for you.
Webb is the biggest Sleep Token head, and I'll tell you this. It was probably whenever they started, 5-6 years ago, however long ago it was, like I can testify. I'd put my hand on the Bible and swear to God, but like, there's this new band called Sleep Token. I think you'd like them. And now, like, anytime we go out, if somebody brings up Sleep Token,
I told you.
And now they're the hottest thing. And I was like, you ain't got to be a hip about it, dude.
Well,
you
can tell them I've got a Sleep Token tattoo.
Okay.
I got me a little Sleep Token tattoo.
I want to send that to him. He is going to trip.
He might actually got that tattoo. Shout out Preacher at Fair City Tattoo. I got this tattoo like a month ago, and he did really good work on it.
Yeah.
Took my vision.
It healed up great.
Oh, dude. He did really good work.
Another question. Like, as far as traveling, man, you brought up Spain, man. Like, where's the favorite place you ever been to?
That's a big ask. Barcelona was the prettiest.
Okay.
Yeah,
if we need a few spots, yeah, dude.
Let's see. Barcelona was the prettiest.
I'm trying to get a vacation together.
dude, you want to go somewhere in the summer? Go to Estonia. It's in the Baltics. I went there in the middle of winter in 2023 on a performance tour, and it was a gorgeous country. It feels like they're stuck in the Middle Ages.
Whoa.
It's cool. I went to that when I went to Spain, we did like a 13 or 14 day tour performing with the Southern Chorale at USM. And we went to Spain, Latvia, and Estonia. And Latvia and Estonia both being in the Baltics are the most beautiful places I've ever been to, dude.
I've heard you're not the first person to say that.
They're
like
gorgeous.
I feel like it's like one of the world's best kept secrets. It's like, and I don't know what that is. Like when people hear Estonia or the Baltics, does their mind like just go straight to like Dracula and like Transylvania? And they're like, oh, no way. Yeah. It sucks there all the time.
Yeah. But as someone who's been there, I can testify they are wrong. It is a gorgeous place. And the cool thing about Estonia was you could go into any church, like any podunk-looking church, and hear a string quartet that rivals any professional orchestra in America. And these are just like people sitting in church just playing around. And I can't say this with certainty, but I've never met a bad musician from Estonia.
There you go.
Never met a bad musician from Estonia.
I'll tell you this, like, I think it comes to our southern church roots here. And I got to give the biggest props to snake handling churches.
Mm.
We've been doing this porch talk for over 7 years now. And usually most of the stories from people from the South, how they got involved in music or how they were, you know, stage time or how they got stage ready, there's usually a church involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, there's definitely something to that.
That's how I got started on stage. Same. I was in church.
I mean, that's how I started singing. I was doing specials when I was like 6 years old, and it just never stopped.
I heard somebody talk about a special in a minute, dude.
Oh, I'm telling you, dude. I used to get up there.
Man.
They'd put my little redheaded tail up there and like, sing it, boy.
Sing it, boy. That's funny. That's crazy.
just for those listening, just to walk it out, socials where you're most active. How do people keep up with you?
Instagram and TikTok are Garrett.Johnston, 2 R's, 1 T, and a T in the last name. Facebook, I think, is also Garrett.Johnston. I could be wrong. You can just look up my name. All the streaming services are Garrett Johnston, spelled the same way.
And check out, I just become a Garrett head, dude. Like, join me on this, dude. I'm about to start going through the catalogs.
You're gonna find some very different things in there. There's a it's a little eclectic.
Well, that's great. I mean, just to close on this, but like that was one thing I really appreciated about your set. Like, none of those three songs were like nowhere near like the same kind of very very eclectic set.
Yeah.
Like, and I really appreciate you sharing off the upcoming, like,
because
anytime, dude, like, that's one thing I love about Mississippi is, like, just the old crossroad tales, and, like, even if you take it to Old Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
Well, I do believe you sold your soul to the devil.
Right.
You know, it's like, that whole mysticism and, like, just, wow.
Yeah.
Here we are.
And that album kind of started with, like, let me just talk about the legends of Appalachia, and then it morphed into what it is now.
I'm really excited
for it.
I'm here for it.
I'm going to have to show you some of the other stuff after this is over.
Yeah, and you'll be hearing from Garrett again back on the show when that, because we're going to have to promote that. All right, perfect. Everybody. Garrett, thank y'all so much.
I appreciate you, boss.
Hell yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.